to Speak Out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
Yo, police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
Yo, police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
Can you blame him?
Yeah. If I had $1 million...
If I had $1 million...
Well, I'd buy you a fur coat, but not a real fur coat. That's cruel. And if I have,
you know, there was a time, well, I'm a boomer, as we've already discussed, Jody.
Right? Yep.
Jody Segesser is here. I'm saying it right now. Doug schooled me.
Yes.
Right. There was a time when fur coats were cool, even for dudes.
Yeah.
But they're not anymore?
Fran Tarkenton.
Did Trump say by executive order it's okay to wear fur coats now?
He should.
Right?
I want the one Fran Tarkenton has.
Oh,
I love
yeah.
that coat.
What was your... if you had a fur coat, what would it be? What fur?
Well, the official school of fur is that you have to go and get matched to your fur.
What?
Your coloring and your hair color and all that. But for anything, I'd want a minx.
You know way too much about fur. Does that make you half a furry?
A half a furry? No, I'm not a half a furry.
It's the second day in a row we've been talking about furries. Holy cow. Marissa, see what you started? All right, Jody Segesser is here. She is the Mojave County Republican Central Committee Chair. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's always awesome to have you on the show. You're going to be one of the last shows of the year, I think.
Finish out with the best.
Next month.
The GOP.
The GOP?
Yeah.
Grand old party, by the way, folks, if you didn't know. And we're going to talk about a lot of things from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with No Sink. See that? I almost dropped it.
You almost did.
Right, right. Find City Maytag, 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. And going to be a really good show today. We're also going to have Coach Carl Thompson on. I was hoping he would come in person, but he forgot he had a meeting. So now he gets to stay in his comfort zone and call in on the phone. Right?
Right.
And we're going to do a season recap.
There you go.
Yeah. But the big story is Mojave High School. They play tomorrow. ALA. I can't remember the name of the school. It's ALA something or other out of, I think they're out of Phoenix. And this is 4A state tournament stuff, folks. They're ranked 12. Mojave's ranked 4th in the state in 4A. And it's at the Anderson Fieldhouse. And I get to use my press badge to get in.
That's wonderful.
I know, right?
I know. We got to support the local teams.
Yes, absolutely. So I want to see that game tomorrow night. Their last game on Friday, they had their star running back, I believe it was, scored 4 touchdowns.
Wonderful.
And Joe Yoni, the quarterback, threw for 2, and I think they won 42-35. It was a the over hit. Let's put it that
yeah.
way.
That's great.
The over definitely hit. And you're a Cowboys fan, so you had a good night on Monday, right?
No, I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
That's why you mentioned Fran Tarkenton.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. That was a good team. Carl Eller was on that team.
Yeah.
That was a good team. And there was a Supreme Court justice who was on that team, right? Thurgood Marshall. Yeah. He was on that team.
Yeah.
If I remember right.
So the Vikings used to come down to Tucson.
Oh.
And when I lived in Tucson for their winter break. And my mom was from Minnesota, so she would take me along. And we had a 70s good time van, and we used to give them rides and go get them cheeseburgers.
Wow. They went to Tucson on purpose?
Yeah. It was warmer than Minnesota.
Jim Chaney and I went to Tucson last weekend, so went through Gila Bend, of all places.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Not much of a bend in that road.
So I used to hang out with Fran Tarkenton, Armand Rashad, nice. Bud Grant.
Ahmad Rashad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was excellent on television, too. So, anyway, welcome to the show, folks. That's going to be what we have to offer today. If you want to talk politics, give us a call, 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. Or if you're one of those conspiracy people that don't want your voice to be heard, but you want your you have your keyboard skills or whatever, text us, 928-727-5566, 928-567-727-5566, and you can be a keyboard warrior all you want. But any nasty messages, we don't really relay that kind of stuff. So
that's good. I like positive.
We're talking NFL just now.
Mm-hmm.
I have tickets to the Cardinals game this weekend.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
You can go see Fabio. You know who that is?
No.
The Jacksonville quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Jacksonville at Arizona. We have four lower-level seats this Sunday, plus the parking pass. That right there, I think, is $25 or $30. So that'll save you some money. Anyway, be my first caller during the break. I'll even take the call here. You can talk to me personally, and it'll be we'll give you the Jacksonville at Cardinals tickets, and again, four lower level seats plus the parking pass for this Sunday. So, get on the phone right now with your significant other and say, "Hey, are we taking the kids or not taking the kids? Are we taking our neighbors or taking our kids?" Right?
Take the neighbors. Take the neighbors' kids.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, so I asked you what you want, what you were thankful for this year, but I want to talk about that probably last.
Okay.
What's really just getting under my craw, and you can see the video up there on the monitor, is this Mark Kelly deal that he bought into, the whole, the Democrats are urging active service members to refuse illegal orders. And took this off of YouTube, but it's courtesy of MS Now, mm-hmm. the new network. Oh, man, they are just all over this. They love it. Mark Kelly did what, right? I'm just surprised that I know he's a Democrat and all, but active or retired Navy, right? Somewhat respected. I kind of respected him for, you know, his whole, what he's gone through with his wife, Gabby Giffords,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, the service to our country through NASA and all that. I mean, there's certain things you can't deny that he's done for this country, but then to tell soldiers or National Guard members to refuse an order from the commander in chief? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's very bad, seditious behavior.
It is.
Mark Kelly, he's served our country many, numerous ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect him for that. I respect his rank. I respect his office that he holds. But he is 100% completely wrong on this.
So let's play this. And I want to come back. I have a really good question for you, because in terms of strategy, this could be gold, in my mm-hmm. eyes anyway. Let's take a listen.
Americans trust their military.
But that trust is at risk. This administration is pitting our uniformed military
and intelligence community professionals
against American citizens. Our laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You must refuse illegal orders.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up the ship.
Okay, which illegal orders were these that...
Well, that's
being told to refuse?
That's what I would like to know, and yeah. I find it very offensive to our midshipmen in the Navy to say don't give up the ship. If you really know what that is from John Paul Jones, the whole situation on that. Look, I know we're all in taglines. I know we're trying to get that soundbite and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't understand the purpose of this, what he did it for, and what his actual issues are. But actually trying to overturn our military against U.S. citizens. Show me where the harm is. Is it about illegal immigration? Is it about people dying of fentanyl? Is it about the immigrants coming over and not following our laws? I mean, what are we talking about here?
Is it aimed at ICE?
I think it's aimed at ICE. I think it's aimed at the immigration issue. that's just a guess. He hasn't been very clear about it,
right.
And that he has to be vague about it, or because we can actually have a conversation about it.
No, and that's a good point.
We don't want to have a conversation. We want sound points to rally
right.
up the rally up the base. I mean, first it was we have to release the Epstein files or we die. So now we release the Epstein files and everyone's gone silent and it's just kind of odd. Do we not have bigger issues right now to solve than to keep drumming up manufactured issues?
It's a big boomerang, isn't it, Epstein?
Yep.
It's a nice bit. It's like the gift that keeps on giving. I thought, was it Maldami? How the heck do you say his name?
Well, I keep thinking
Maldami?
Maldani.
That's it with an N.
Was the alcoholic beverage,
yeah.
That commercial? That's what I keep thinking of
every
time I hear it.
Maldavi. I got you.
But yes, our little communist in New York, our socialist in New York, Zari crying for money. Don't forget how we got here, though. We got here with him by ranked choice voting, which the voters thankfully denied in Arizona.
Oh, man.
But don't forget how
we got
here. They're going to keep trying. We hear it's coming back. So don't forget how we got here, because this ranked choice voting, the way it works is you get the lesser candidate floats to the top.
So I guess my theme today with you is we need to find the abortion issue that Republicans resonate with. And I think it's the election. I think it's election rules. That's my thought. And Alex Collodin has a really good bill out that I guess the governor vetoed it. Am I wrong?
I think he just dropped it.
They were talking about dropping the bill, and then they know she's going to veto it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's probably going to end up on the ballot. But The big rule to me is that all mail-in ballots that are dropped off at the county recorder have to be in by 7 p.m. Friday before the election, not at your election centers on election day. That's the big sticker.
That's part of the big sticker.
Okay.
I like that part because...
Me too.
I'm sure the recorders, I haven't talked to them, but I'm sure the recorders would love that too, because you have to have time to cure those and we can get a more timely thing. The other part of the bill that I thought was in there was getting rid of the early voting list. That one might be a little more sticky. I tried to research it the other day. The early voting list is probably about 50% of the people who are on the early voting list for Mojave County.
Okay.
Mojave County likes to early vote.
Really?
Yes.
To me, that's strange because, well, they do recently or they always have?
A mixture of each, but, you know, we did a big push for the last election to get everybody to early vote. So now we got everybody to early vote. They like it. Now they're saying, well, now we don't want you to early vote.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, we're getting whiplash, for one, but it's what the public will tolerate. Now, I hate to bring up Texas, but in Texas, we have early voting for about 10 to 14 days before the election. It closes that Saturday before the Tuesday election, and then you can vote in person on Tuesday. If you want a mail-in ballot, you have to have special parameters to medically qualify you for that mail-in ballot.
Right.
So
it's a
lot more stringent, it's a lot tighter, and so there's a better control over it. So I think the intent is to make our election secure, which we all want,
mm-hmm.
and Arizona is kind of goofy, and we want to get these things tightened up. It's how do we go from what we have to transition to what will work and what will be secure. So there's some gaps in there that I'm just afraid that because when I read what Alex put out, and it might be a different version, that you'd take off everybody off the early voting list, and then if they want to be on it, they have to re-register every 2 years.
Exactly. That's
yep.
how it should be. Back in the day, I know in Clark County, it used to be if you didn't vote in 2 consecutive general elections, you were purged. You
yes.
were done.
Yes. And
you had to re-register.
And you had to re-register. And I completely agree with having to re-register if you don't are an active voter. In Ohio, where I lived for a year, I was appalled that people registered to vote when they were 17, voted once or twice,
man.
And they're 80 and they're still on the voter list.
Whoa. And
There's
we don't even know if they live in Ohio.
We don't even know. So
right.
I worked for a company, and we started going through, and would you believe 98% of the people in the one precinct actually still lived in their homes from when they originally registered?
Wow. That's crazy.
I was just shocked. I thought, there's no way. But it's Ohio, and a lot of times they just pass the houses down to the next family member, so that's the way it works.
Maybe they knew that when they created the legislation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but I was just like, there's no way. So I think, you know, we have to find a way that we can secure our list, make sure that people are re-registering, that you're just not registered for once until you pass away.
You have to get Republicans out to vote.
We have to get Republicans out to vote.
Listen to me talking. What is it called?
You're a quasi-Republican. I'm going to convert you yet.
No, it's called a weapon of mass destruction.
A PND.
A PND. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a PND. Party not declared.
Party not declared.
Not a weapon of mass destruction.
So what typically happens is, you know, we always have the big swing with the presidential election. People will come out and vote for the president. They won't for their local. They won't for their state. So now we're going to local and state elections, and people tend to drop off. We tend to drop off to about 36% of the voters.
Ooh.
From 80 to 90% what we had for President Trump. So we are aiming, as the MCRCC, we are in the GOP, we are aiming to increase those numbers.
That's more than half. That's a lot.
So I have a good target. We are very well organized going into next year. I spent some time in Seattle with the RNC for training because we did so well in our Get Out the Vote campaign. They asked us to give them 10%. We gave them more than 22% increase. So they sent me out to meet with RNC for 2 days of training.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got some good tools to come back with and help us. They're not giving me money, but they gave me tools.
That's funny. Who's the RNC chair now? I know it was Ron McDaniel.
Yeah, and I just forgot his name. I just went blank on his name. It's a he.
Okay.
And so we're... You know, we don't have a lot of contact with them. We have some contact with the state, but especially for the rural counties in Arizona, we're kind of left amongst ourselves, and it is for us to really determine everything how what we're going to do and how we're going to run our counties. So we have come up with a plan. I've wrote the outreach plan. We're in the middle of executing the plan. You'll see us out a lot more. We've been at the swap meet for most Sundays from 8 to 2.
Oh.
We do a question of the week that's very timely. They're a lot of fun. We have a lot of engagement. Bullhead has been out doing their stuff. You've seen our floats out.
District 2?
District 2 is in Bullhead and in our District 1 office in Kingman.
Gotcha.
And they're doing their outreach things, and we are out of the office more than we're in the office.
Okay. I figured it out. It's like the supervisor districts, right? Is that the same thing?
No.
No? So there's only a 1, 2, and 3?
Well, there might be a 4th.
Really?
I'm working
on that. Would that be the north?
Colorado City. Yep, we're in discussions with them right now to make a District 4 for Colorado City. And they're interested in it. It gives them a seat at the table for the party. It helps with some of the logistics. And I tell you what, if you ever want to see how a government can be born, it's Colorado City.
That would be a really good move right now. They're talking about Colorado City being the new Sedona.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since the FLDS... You know, went to where? Texas.
Yep. Yes. And we've got great Republicans up there, and for them to, you know, to be organized and go forward and be part of it. So that has been in discussion, and we started putting in motion a couple weeks ago.
Interesting. Wow. All this cool stuff happening. And even cooler is who I hear might be here for the Lincoln Day dinner, but I'm not saying a word.
Yeah, well, we haven't confirmed yet. We're waiting to hear.
I'm not telling anybody even in secret. I hear stuff. It's just a rumor at this point, right?
Well, I can tell you who is confirmed.
Not yet. We're going to do a tease on that.
Okay.
We talked about this on the show yesterday, what a radio tease is, right?
Okay.
Na, 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 na. Just kidding.
Yeah,
all right. There's a little West Texas music
there
for you.
There you go.
A little Marty Robbins. Yep.
Yep.
There you go. El Paso, Marty Robbins. All right. If you want those Cardinals tickets, get on the phone now. Jacksonville at Arizona this Sunday. 2:05 is the kickoff, Arizona time. 4 lower level seats and the parking pass. Just call me, 928-854-5687. 928-854-KNTR. And I would understand after last week if there are no phone calls. I get it. I haven't worn a Cardinals shirt all week, which is really weird for me.
It's brutal.
All right. Back with more in a moment. Hey, it's ringing. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
I caught a good one, it looked like it could run. up on its back and away I did ride.
Mama, baby, Ben, brother runs in, feathers on his head. Mama's in her room, learning how to sew. Daddy's drinking beer, listening to the radio. Hank Williams sings for Elijah and dear John. And time marches on. Time marches on.
All right, we're back on Speak Out, and just contacting Coach Carl Thompson. But right now we have Jody Sega, sir, in the studio. She's the Mojave County Republican Central Committee Chair. I'm out of breath now. Oh, that would help.
Hi there.
Hi. So we had multiple callers on the Cardinals tickets, but the one who called the office, I'm going to give the tickets to him because there's a little bit of mix-up going on, and Marissa June is calling you back right now to get your email address, and I'm not sure what his name, I think it was Mark, I can't remember. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. By Just Meats, all the cuts, all the time. Folks, they have fresh turkey. They always do this time of year.
Wonderful.
Usually we play the one with the shotgun blast and the turkey goes down and dies. It's kind of cool. The commercial for them. Also, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Springberg Wealth Management, Blonzy Steakhouse, and A&B Propane. ABpropaneAZ.com. And love them. They're a new sponsor for the show. And, yeah, we gave away Cardinals tickets today. I knew those would go fast.
Yes.
Even if they do stink. They're not the Raiders.
Wow. Rough room.
Okay, a little sports talk here.
Okay.
You're a sports fan.
Mm-hmm.
Kyler Murray to the Oakland Raiders. And that way, you know, he was drafted by the Oakland A's too, right? First round.
Did not know that.
First round. Major League Baseball draft. Yes, I think it was the same year. And he could play for the Raiders half the year. Go across town to Summerlin to their new stadium or the Tropicana or wherever the heck the A's are going to be playing. Because they're going to have no attendance because they stink. And Vegas doesn't support bad teams. They never do.
They never do.
No, the visitors come in and they fill the stands and it becomes a visitors game. But he could play for both teams. And K1, go for it, man. You have my blessing right here on the air. All right, speaking of blessings, what are we thankful for as Mojave County Republican Central Committee Chair, Jody Sega, sir?
What I'm thankful for are really two things. For all our PCs and all our volunteers that work tirelessly hard to help people, to educate them to vote and show them how we do it, and for all the voters who turned out for Trump and gave us back our country. I cannot think of anything I'd be more thankful for this year, because last year at this time, we weren't really sure.
Yeah, if it weren't for Trump being reelected, we might be thankful just for a new prison cot.
Correct.
You know, me being on talk radio and talking what we talk about.
Yeah, and having
they don't like that, and
having the freedom that we all do endure. It's been a hard year. Charlie Kirk gave it all, you know, for us, and we need to remember that, to be thankful for what we do have, and to keep up the fight, and we have to hold the line for the next election.
You know, you bring up an interesting point with Charlie Kirk, and I've been listening to the show. I've been trying to get through to people close to that organization, one here locally that we know very well. I feel like they're losing ground. The momentum that they had, I feel like it's coming back into the ocean like a wave that hits and then comes back, you know, goes back into the sea. I think they need a more notable, recognizable voice, maybe what's her name, Kelly, Megyn Kelly, mm-hmm. to host the show. I'd hate to say it, but Tucker Carlson, you know, maybe. I don't know. Somebody, a name. They need a name and a face on that show,
and I think,
the radio talk show.
I think they're trying to figure that out while they're also still trying to mourn.
I get that.
And then the overwhelming support. I don't know if you've ever worked a disaster, but you get all these volunteers and all these things that come in, and you're trying to do, you know, triage everything at one time.
Hmm.
And I think now they're just trying to kind of find their breath, and they're getting reorganized. And we work with a lot with their folks here, and you know, game plans change and game plans pivot, but we're all moving forward along the same highway, so we're going.
I used to think I worked a disaster every morning when I directed a morning show.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
But hey, we have a phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Oh, no, it's Coach Thompson.
Oh, hey, Coach. Hold on, okay? We're going to take it to break. Yep. I didn't see your name come up. And we do – oh, it was Randy. It was Randy that picked up the Cardinals tickets. And very good. I'll send Randy's name onto the bowels of the mothership, right? That's what we call Steve's office.
That's it.
The bowels of the mothership. And they will get their Cardinals tickets, four tickets and a parking pass. That's a good deal.
That's a good
deal.
Right,
right. Anything else you're thankful for?
You know, thankful to live in Havasu City. It's a beautiful place. Thankful you let us come on and talk about all our programs. And, Coach, good luck this weekend.
Very good. Did you hear that, Coach?
I did. Thank you.
Actually, they're not playing this weekend.
Oh, they're off.
Yeah, this is. We're going to do a recap.
Oh, we're doing a recap.
Yeah. We don't want to recap the last game too much, though.
No.
Right, Coach?
We can.
Okay. You sound like you have a cold.
Oh, it's been there for a week.
Oh, that's not good. All right. And he talks like you, by the way.
Texas accent?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. Anyway, so we'll meet next month.
Yes.
And your let's see. I've got Sonny's due on Tuesday. But he's not going to be here.
No.
So if the mayor's listening, he has his shot at an hour on Tuesday.
Wonderful.
Right? And we'll talk about the Whoville tree. Have you seen that?
I have.
Does it look like Cindy Lou Who's hair on top of it?
You know, it looks better than the dead one.
It looks really good. Mm-hmm. I'm very impressed. I just want to know which catalog they got it out of, the Disneyland one or the Dr. Seuss one.
Dr. Seuss.
You think?
Yeah.
And those guys at the city, they decorate way too well. Do you notice that?
They are phenomenal.
I think everything was number coded. Like, put this number here, this number. I'm serious. I think all those bulbs have a number on them somewhere. So just my thought. All
it
right.
Worked out well.
Jody, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, you too.
And Doug as well. Is he the turkey this year?
No. My aunt's coming in from Dallas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
More than one aunt or two? Or
she's one aunt, and she's a Democrat.
So you have an aunt problem.
I have an aunt problem.
Nice.
This will be fun.
Nice. All right, this is little Cody Johnson. It's called Human. It looks like it's all about rodeos, too. So that's a West Texas tradition right there,
yep.
Along with high school football.
Yeah, throwing the tortilla.
What's that mean?
That would make you look it up.
Oh, man, very good. Thanks for being here, as always.
Thank you.
We'll see you next month.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. We'll be back with more in a moment. Coach Carl Thompson from the Fighting Knights is coming up next, and we'll be back on Speak Out. Text us your questions, 928-727-5566. We'll be right back.
I guess all I'm saying is forgive me if I don't know what I'm doing. I'm still learning to be human.
I'm a snow boyfriend, rebinds bottles, Ricky down the road, he resells Red Wings. Hell, I got a guy for every damn thing. I'm looking for someone to put the tires back in the drive. And if they
all right, there's a little Post Malone for my bass player, Miss B. She's a postie. That's what she says. Post Malone featuring Luke Combs called Guy for That. And we're back on Speak Out, brought to you in part by The Chair, also Mojave College, samsguns.com, solar power by Esme Electric, also Dorita's Place, providing Havasu with all-natural dog and cat food along with pet toys since 2006. And, of course, the Lewis team, Remax by the Lake with Bobby and Julie Lewis. I have a feeling Preston's going to be there soon, too. He was on the show yesterday. Quite the young man. He's a jet ski racer. I don't know if you know him or not, Coach, but Preston Lewis, a fine young man from Lake Havasu High School, another graduate.
Oh, yeah, I know Preston very well. He played Little League and baseball with my younger son, Trevor. So know the family, great realtors in town.
Right.
You know, good people. So, yeah, do know him.
That's what he was saying. He played baseball. I said, what position? He said, all of them. And I said, you pitched? And he goes, yeah, until I threw my arm out. And I said, who taught you the curveball? Like, I knew how he threw his arm out, right? And he said, my dad.
No, he's throwing poor Bobby under the bus.
Pretty funny, right?
Yeah, they played together a lot of times. They're a good little athlete all around.
So Coach Carl Thompson with us on the phone. You're kind of switching over to basketball, not as a coach, but at something to do with basketball. But you've got a whole slew of stats and that for the 9-3 overachievers of the year, I call you, the Fighting Knights of Lake Havasu High School. You guys, I mean, for the situations that you guys were put in, you know, backup quarterbacks and just all kinds of situations, you won a big game up in Flagstaff, then, and they become the sixth ranked team, right? That was, help me out.
Correct. Gila Ridge.
Gila Ridge. And then you lose to Mojave, and I thought, oh, I don't know. They should have won that game. I thought you should have won that game. You had Yoni pinned a couple times in his own end zone. And then you come back and you reel off a bunch of wins and lose to Deer Valley by one, which probably cost you the bye, I think, in my opinion. But, characterize the season before we get into the stats, Coach.
Well, you know, it was a year coming into where we knew that we were starting that rebuild process the year before with a lot of those guys coming in. And there was a lot of unknowns because we had a lot of different people that had success the year before that were filling in different roles. And then we had some newcomers that were coming to us, which we started about five or six sophomores throughout our ranks on offense, defense, special teams. So you never know how those teams are going to gel. And like you talked about, I mean, those first couple games are real just animals right out of the gate,
mm-hmm.
you know, to test what you can do, what you accomplished over the offseason, what you had prepared for, what you were ready for, what you weren't. And ultimately it came down to how the kids would respond and handle themselves. And, you know, this group did a really good job of keeping their composure. They never felt like they were out of anything. Our weekly halftime speeches were very, very much the same because I think seven or eight times during the year we went into halftime down by a score or two. We needed to come out and win the second half to win the game. And they answered those scenarios. I mean, very easily when they had all the adversity and different things in front of them, they had the choice of either to battle through it or not. And, you know, this group day in and day out and game in, game out, they battled through it. So, you know, with that, a lot of different people doing a lot of great things and stepping up. I mean, probably one of the biggest surprises, which we knew he was a good player, having a really breakout season with Luke Johnson on both sides of the ball. I mean, tremendously, we knew he was a good athlete when we brought him up as a true freshman. But to fill the role and everyone kind of rallying around him in short yardage plays, I mean, in our little beast package, getting the ball, whether it was either Halo or Tripp throwing him the ball, you know, he did great things in space. And he was a big contributor on defense, too. So, you know, that was the kind of the real bright star of there. And there were a lot of people that went along with him. I mean, you had Carter DeVette having a great season coming on as his second year on varsity, being one of our leading wide receivers. You know, Tristan Andrade getting those tough yards at running back, along with Jay Deacon coming in as the season went on. And, you know, a couple guys in front of them on the line with Brendan Trejo and then Nick Sousa, another sophomore that popped out of nowhere, you know, giving us those offensive sparks. So those guys, along with so many others that we'll talk about here in a little bit with, you know, Cohen Taylor, Cole Cicina, different guys touching the ball, two quarterbacks, three, four guys throwing touchdowns. I mean, just a lot of good things for those guys on the offensive side.
Yeah, Cole Cicina, to me, he's one of those players. He's almost a scout's dream. You know there's a lot of upside there if you're going to send him on to play, you know, to further his career in college, say, for example.
Correct. There was. You know, those opportunities, our guys, you know, especially on that offensive side, they all were feeding off each other.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever got the ball, they all blocked well for each other. And when different people, you know, when Tripp did go down and Halo stepped in, Cole became more of a full-time guy, taking Halo's spot as a wide receiver. So a lot of good things there. And then you sprinkle on the other side, on the defensive side, you know, just a whole bunch of Knights having great seasons, starting up front with the D-line, with Owen Merrill, Ethan Adler, Vinny Finitaka, Adele Gomez. Those guys were the front runners on that defensive line. And, you know, they gave teams fits. You had some good linebacker play by Trevor Thompson, Ashton Gibbon behind him, and Luke Johnson, and then Tristan and Nico Bailey did that. And the secondary, which Cohen Taylor, Carter DeVette, and Blake Pohl,
right.
Blake Pohl being another sophomore out there, I mean, they just got after people. And then you put in the turnover machine, Spencer Ibarra, Mr. Pickasaurus out there, you know, having all those, having such a great year. I mean, we rewrote so many records on the defensive side, and we'll talk about those here in a second.
That guy's got some heart. Spencer Ibarra, what is he, 5'4" and 135? And they were picking on him all day long, man, and nothing. It's like shutdown island out there.
You know, he did. You know, you sometimes see that mismatch, and you think that that's the direction you want to go. And, you know, a lot of teams found out that was probably not the best direction.
Right.
With him having such a great year doing that out there. I mean, some of the things just that, because there's a whole bunch of things on the offensive side. I've got pages for those guys. But just a real quick highlight of the defensive group we talked about. You know, they held total defense in a game. When we played Alhambra, held them to negative 46 yards for the game.
Oh, man, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, so that was a big one. And then came out again in the playoff game for rushing defense allowed in a game. We held Sierra Linda to negative 44 yards.
Oh, I believe that.
In that first playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that group as a collective group, they broke the season sack record with 38. They tied the single game quarterback sacks in a game versus Yonker in the homecoming game. They had 8 in that one. 81 tackle for losses on the season, 14 in a game, and, you know, they broke the record for interceptions on the season with 23.
Who had the most sacks? Was it Ethan?
Well, it's funny. So as you say that, I'm going to pull it up. We did break the individual sack record, and Ethan and Owen Merrill tied.
They did.
Each with 10. The previous record was 9.5. Those guys came in, like I said, they did a tremendous job. They were on opposite sides of each other, so it made it very interesting. And to boot, Owen Merrill had, you know, 5 tackle for losses versus Sierra Linda and Buckeye. He had 25 tackle for losses for the season, and him and, Adler both had 10 sacks, tying that. And then kind of one of our other, we did have one individual break the top 10 in career tackles. That was Trevor Thompson. He had 213 tackles in his career, moving him to 9th all time. So he's in a pretty good group there. So,
yeah, that Buckeye game is, and specifically, Jim and I were both there. There was a couple of 3rd and 0.5 kilometer, I think. I mean, you guys had them pinned way back in a couple of situations.
Right, we did, and you know, a lot of good things there, and you know, again, you know, good defense is complemented by great offense. You know, that's what got us in games and got us rolling. And usually when we started scoring, it was defensive quick stop. Offense was going right after people. You know, I don't think people realized how fast we truly were on both sides of the ball. But, you know, those offensive guys came back. They broke the season touchdown record with 31 touchdowns on the season. They had 6 in a game twice versus Kofa and Somerton. I mean, 331 first downs on the season, 38 first downs versus Gila Ridge. Offensive plays in a season, 725.
Wow.
Points in a quarter, they scored 42.
That was Alhambra.
That was.
Or Kofa. I mean,
they did a lot of great things there.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, with that, you know, such a great effort on all sides of the ball for these guys. There were a couple individuals that really stood out. Passing records, Halo Jump moved in to the top 10 in a season with 1,318 yards. His career mark jumped him up to number 5 all time with 2,061 yards. So, you know, Halo's been in and out of that position.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about Carter DeVette. He broke into the top 5-6 in receiving for a season with 844 yards. And he also broke into the top 10 for career with 1,074 with a year to go. So, you know, some of these guys are making their mark. Some of them are going to have the opportunity to improve their mark, but it's been a lot of fun.
Coach, the last game against Micah Mountain, not a great result, of course, 35-0. But you had a back and forth, probably until 8 minutes left until halftime. And then they scored on a go route, and the secondary got beat pretty bad on that. But more to my point, did you ever consider changing quarterbacks when it was obvious that Hala wasn't having a good night?
Well, you know, those are our guys we're going with. And again, as you just spoke about there, I think our biggest thing that caught us was, I mean, we knew our opponents were going to be good. Everybody's good in the playoff, but it really showed teams that have a lot more depth. And that was us at different times during the year. You know, we'd went through the injury bug. We'd went through the sickness bug. We fought our ways back and forth. And, you know, I think it did become a little bit of attrition of they were able to roll some guys and we weren't.
Mm-hmm.
In some positions we were playing two ways. But, you know, he'd been our guy, and we were sticking with our game plan. I mean, some of the things were just a little bit off. They weren't off by much, but in the playoff football, that's going to happen in all aspects. I mean, it's uncharacteristic for us to not connect with a couple of those passes. It was uncharacteristic for us to give up that deep ball. I mean, we had some big momentum after we forced the turnover right back into scoring position. We faced a team that was better than us that day.
Boy,
that's just the way it goes sometimes.
That day, for sure. But, yeah, I have seen you guys play a lot better. All right, I want to get to the big question. I'm going to save for last, okay? And you might
get an answer, you might not.
You know what it is already. So, all right, I want to talk about the brackets, what's left. This is the quarterfinals now. You have 8th-ranked Marcos Deniza, which is a shocker all on its own to me that they're ranked number 8, against Arcadia. The second game in that top half of the bracket, you have ALA West Foothills against Mojave tomorrow night. Then a team that I think they beat Mojave pretty good was number 14, Coconino. They're my dark horse, by the way, against number 6, Gila Ridge. I think Coconino's a really underrated team in this tournament. And then you have, finally, Mica Mountain against Snowflake. And Snowflake, number 2, they were number 1 all year, and then Arcadia beat them in the last week of the regular season. Who do you like out of these 8 teams that are left?
Well, you know, I think the travel will have a lot to do. I mean,
yeah,
that starting from the back with Mica Mountain going up to Snowflake, especially if the weather looks like it did today through Phoenix with all the hail storms and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the being outside that game could be a huge factor. I mean, I think Snowflake could have the advantage. I mean, they're always a tough-nosed group up there. They get after football. And, you know, I think Snowflake, you know, I think that having a home field advantage, I think the cold, I remember going to Sholo back in 2015, that plays a huge factor. So, but I will say this, you know, seeing the teams that we've played and who we've lost to and everything, I'm going to go with to Mica Mountain. I think that even with all that adversity, I'm going to see them go up the mountain and get a win up there. They're a very good team. They're very disciplined. They have a lot of depth. And, you know, not a lot of teams really understand that until they get there.
Yeah.
The local one, Mojave, you know, again, having home field advantage. I think Mojave will get – I think it'll be a game. I think for that game, I think it's going to come down to who has the ball last.
That's a good point.
So I think it could go either way that way. I think they're a tough-nosed group. We've seen them.
How about Arcadia and Marcos Deniza?
Well, before we get to that, I think there's a little history with West Foothills and Mojave, so that one should be very interesting from the last couple of years. Arcadia, you know, they're a good team. There's a reason why they're up at the top. I think that they're going to be able to get after there. And with the last one, with Coconino, I do agree that they're always tough. They're a dark horse, but it's tough to go to Yuma and win.
Oh, very true. Very true.
So, but, you know, if Gila Ridge is at full strength, I would, you know, talking with Coach Frill at different times, I mean, their D-line at Gila Ridge is very comparable to our group at D-line, you know, and I think that they're going to have – it'll be a really good deal. If their quarterback can take care of the ball, he's done a good job other than when we played him week one. I think he's thrown 5 interceptions, 4 were against us. So he's done a good job with the ball.
But right.
I mean, I think it's going to be a tough one. I mean, every team there that's left are all capable of winning. All they, like as we talked about earlier, if they have their night, you know, it could go either way. Turnover margin's always the biggest in the playoffs.
You know, it could come down to Mojave and Coconino in a rematch.
It could. That would be, you know, Rudy and I talked about, he and I possibly at one point. He was on campus here for a CTE deal, and he and I had a good conversation. So.
Oh, wow. All right, so the big question, are you coming back?
Well, we'll see. Like I said, once we're getting to the off-season stuff, we'll get through our end-of-the-year stuff, reevaluate things, and see where we're at.
You're too passionate about the program not to come back. I know you, Carl Thompson. All right. Thanks for being our coach, and we'll see you next year, hopefully.
All right. Sounds good. I appreciate it.
Good job, Coach. That was a great coaching job, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. We are going to take our last break of the hour and back with more on Speak Out in a moment. I'll tell you who's coming up next week, and it's only one show. I'll tell you all about it when we come back.
The successful life we're living got us feuding like the Hatfields and McCoys. Between Hank Williams' pain songs and Newberry's train songs and Blue Eyes crying in the rain. Out in Lukenbach, Texas, ain't nobody feeling no pain.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. And on Tuesday's show, because we're going to break after that, folks, we're not working Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. Come on, it's Thanksgiving week, right? Got to give people time to travel and all that happy stuff and pick up their pies at Amore Pie and More. Anyway, we'll have the mayor on Tuesday, and hopefully he'll be on for the whole hour. He has it available to him, as I said before. All right, it's been a great week. And if you can't get to that Mojave game, tomorrow night starts at 7 at the Anderson Fieldhouse. Hannity's up next.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.